Okay. Some genealogy history from Grandma and Marina. Okay, go ahead.
Alors, comme tu dis, militim panicha zaškicha
Daria.
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 Oh.
Kasia Gostami Daria.
Pertama, Nikita mi.
Nikita una konakon sinte imasyokten. Piling wakti.
Tohko ke piling
Piling
wakti.
wakti jatien.
Oh, dia. Tohna
Sasko.
emiliti dia jaksogo.
Great great uncle.
Oh, great
Great,
great
great, great
uncle.
uncle.
Nikita's great great uncle, Militi.
Great, 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 great uncle.
Great 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 uncle, Militi.
Nikita.
That was Nikita's.
Nikita to. To Sashka to kona mama musan. Nikita angli to kona tu makikili ngoksuko. Pilingol laksuko. Dahil ko si mamaktaki at di papakalugok. Ang ilis ko kalugok.
So, Militi and Daria was brother and sister.
Huh?
Daria ka Militi uncle ki.
Uncle ki kahasoko uncle ki ini kay ada kinalilagto
Oh, nasuwan eh.
ko. Nalilag sila. Ada ki ka uncle ki ka.
Oh.
Bisingusman nito. Una talaga wis ka ako ihi nakisngut
Sashka. Oh, Saskia, I'm a tan of a tacky.
Saskia.
Test and me, we not at the Mkhia. Saskia, Katawa, at the. I mean, at her.
Saskia,
at her, eh? Amutra, eh? Saskia. Saskia, with her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we gotta go a bit straight.
Nikita. Was the one who
Nikita was there. That was their foster parents. Sashkika was, her name was Daria. Her husband's name was Sashka. They were a couple. They took Nikita as their, that was their foster parents. And their uncle was that Militi was Nikita's great, great, great uncle.
And
That's what she says.
he was the one who built the church
Yeah.
in Karluk.
He died when he was 110. I remember him when he was sitting in the, excuse me, when he was sitting in the rocking chair outside. Rocking chair me akumaluni angutwak.
Yeah.
Imatawag actually pulat patkumbaga.
Pero lais ka siya kita right side, hokli.
Oh.
Tipokta siya kung ako in ko kung ako tang kuno ni. Sash, tiko na militi.
He was getting new teeth.
Yeah, he got new teeth before he died. On the back, both the top and the bottom.
Na khu mili ti ilan ka na shi khan ka.
She wants to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You drag me down.
Okay.
You got to hold her this time.
Yeah, she can run off.
Yeah, don't let her go off. They knew that because they could eating them, I guess that's why.
Say that again.
My mom and them used to say that Adaku Kohok shoot, shoot, cheerot, Taku Kahat Agulitni, Taku Kahat Agulitni, shoot, shoot Agulitni. Amongst the people, the bears will be amongst the people all the time. They're not going to be scared of people no more because they don't go hunting them no more for food. They used to hunt them, you know, for food every spring. And then late in the fall, when they think that they're not fishy anymore, you know, in October, November month, you know, just before it gets really cold, they'd go hunting them again for food. And salt them. They salt them down. That's why they used to be, I used to wonder how come there's so many bear skins all over the homes, you know, outside. They would have, you know, nail them outside so the sun would get all the fat off. Summertime. Then they scrape it, clean it. And they used to have rugs like that. They leave the head on. They just let it dry like that. Just let the sun dry the brain, I guess. I don't know if they took the brain out or what, not. But I always remember they had almost all the homes just like they used to have bear skin hang outside all summer. Then sometimes they scrape the, when the fat is melting, you know, to clean it out. Then in the fall of the year, they would take soap and water and wash them. Well, before they take them down. I know we used to have one, when I was married to your real grandpa, we used to have a bear skin like you have in the house. But then, but the older people, like midwives, used to wonder why the blind old lady let me step on that bear. You're not supposed to. A pregnant woman is not supposed to have a bear skin or step on it at home. Grandpa's coming out. Because bears don't open up like women do. They get bears, the little cubs are just small, you know, when they get them in the caves. They all say they're just like weasels when they come out. They're just tiny. They're not big. Bears don't open up like women do. That's why towards the spring, the bears would come because they're really about that big when they come out of that caves. I had a hard time getting my first baby because I couldn't open up because I used to step on that and that's bad. They said it used to be bad. The older midwives used to wonder why she wouldn't take that away from the house. And I used to step on it all the time and I couldn't open up. With Alice, and it's a good thing Alice was small, only about that big. Her head was only about that big. If she was any bigger, I would have just died. Because I suffered 36 hours that I remember. I always remember that. I labored that long. And then she was reached birth to feet first. And when, after she was born, she was so tiny. She goes, I didn't open up that bag that she got stuck here. Her little head. And her head was only about that big. And she had to go in there and push it out. And when I seen the baby was all purple. I think that's how babies were. All purple. The whole body was purple. She almost died. It stuck, you know. When we were young.
Picking berries?
When we go picking salmon berries in the fall of the year. That's when the berries were out, you know. And but the berries would be so far away from us, but they still would smell a person. And I never believed him that the bear could say shook. Shook, shook. Shook is a person. And I heard him myself when I didn't know there was a bear so close to us when we were picking berries. And I heard a bear going, saying, shook, shook, and the bear just took right off. But scared of us.
Yeah.
Just Auntie and I, Auntie Catherine and I. Yeah. Yeah. See, there was lots of berries, and that's where the new homes are. When we were growing up, we never had bear meat or nothing, though. But lots of people from home used to go bear hunting. I always remember them loading up their dory with guns and food, you know, to take along, blankets and stuff like that, tents to go hunting in the fall of the year, even in the spring of the year. Then they'd come home with bears. I used to remember the bears when they're off their skin, the skin always looked like a person to me. But Papa wouldn't let us eat any. Papa never got any. Same thing with seal. We never had seal or sea lion. We never ate any of them when we were little. But when after I got married to your real grandpa, I start eating them, and I love them. I like them. There was nothing wrong with it. To me, it was good. So I learned to eat shishuk too then. Because Mama never made shishuk. I'm kind of Papa, I guess, I don't know why. But she did have, she did eat shishuk though, from other people, you know. And, but then I know she used to let us go picking berries in Sturgeon, just cranberries, no blackberries. I don't know why she never used to make ihiyak with blackberries. We used to go behind the house and fill up the cups in no time when she went to make it here for the cranberries. Or when we're going to have ptarmigan or some of those little snipes on the beach. On the beach, there's we, on the islands, you know, Papa would shoot a couple of times and fill up a great big pan with them little snipes. And he would clean them and just take the breast only, because the breast has the meat, just like a ptarmigan. And that's what we used to eat. they used to roast them. And then that's when, in the fall of the year, I always remember Mama would send us behind the house to get some cranberries, I guess for sauce, you know. And then she would let us pick some, and she'd put them away for winter, cranberries. I always remember our banyo in Surgeon. And I remember the little shed. My dad had two of them, two sheds, and the outside toilet.
Plus your house.
Plus the house. We had the house. From the house, there was two sheds over here. From there was a banyo. From the banyo way down here was the toilet. But we never went to the toilet, just daytime. They let us use a homemade Gershom's, tall ones, you know. And I also remember Papa old wallpaper or walls with.
He's moving something. Hold on, Greg. Okay, go ahead. July 2007. You said about how they used to name the kids? How they used to name the kids? What was it?
Oh, they used to name the kids when babies, when they're born. Right away, they name them in Aleut name. They give him Aleut name right away, even before they're baptized. Even they give him Aleut name, and Aleut name meant a lot of them meant so the baby will be strong, especially the boys. So they'll be strong. So they'll grow up to be a good man. And the girls, so they'll be good wives when they get to be a woman. They name them Aleut names. So that's how kids behaved before. They gave them Aleut name. Every baby had an Aleut name in the village. Yeah.
And yours is?
Mine is Panyushi. But I never asked, I should have asked my godmother what that means. It's an Aleut name, Panyushi. But it means something, you know. But I was strong. I was always strong when I was young. Always. I was more like a tomboy. I like to work outside. I like work outside and work inside the house. Both places I knew how to do things. I used to like to chop wood. I used to like to saw wood. I was really strong and pack wood. And I always think maybe that was my name in Aleut, to be strong or something. To be strong. Because I was really strong when I was young. Even after I had children, I was still strong. Yeah, till I started getting... operated on. Operations get you... You don't get your strength back the way it was anymore, you know. When they get babies, and Mama used to get babies, we used to go looking for babies on the beach. They used to tell us they found a baby on the beach or in the garden. They said they found me in the garden. I also remember that.
They found Auntie Minnie the beach, I know that. And so did Auntie Annie and the beach too. But Uncle Martin and Uncle Oscar, but I never know where. They said they found them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they find them under the bed. Under the bed. The baby was crying under the bed. They found a baby under the bed. And Mama was the one had to own it because she found her under the bed, or him. They didn't know where the baby came from. It was their own brother and sister. We didn't know. Mm-hmm. They would tell us. And they never, never let the children see your body. They won't.
Not even when you go take banyo?
You had to wear those little skirts like in a banyo. From your waist down, you know. They never see what you have with you. And they always kept men and wife kept their own, you know, secrets. So they don't see the children don't see what they're doing. Never. Children grew up like us, you know, we got to be in our teens and older. We still didn't know what the man and wife does. We didn't know what sex was. Nothing. Oh, sometimes I always sit and think of that. I wish it was like that yet for the children. Children know so much no more anymore. Oh, and I always, when I see children now and then see their moms have a big stomach, you know, and the children would say, oh, my mom got a big baby in there. They know. And then they talk to their children what it is, you know, and that's why I guess they knew before. My mom and her friends used to say that children are not going to listen to their parents. They're not going to listen to their mom and dad. Not even their grandparents. Not even their older sisters or brothers. They won't. No, they don't. They won't know their cousins. They wouldn't know how they're related. They wouldn't try to find out how they are related. They knew that. Atako shinako kam chamingwa shinako shud magutush shudushitha na shujikat ilatan. That means they'll go and have sex with their own relatives. That means having sex with their own blood relatives. I always used to hear a lot of stuff. Only when I got to my 50s, I started to think, because I seen so much here when we moved up here. They weren't the way we were in Carlock. And they talked about sex right in front of the children here. Which I never heard, you know, in Carlock. And I just sit and think, Here, Uncle here, he was really young when I used to come up here because, you know, I lived with them when they were little. When I stay with them, he'd be just laughing. He was just a teenager, I guess. After he's been over in a cannery, he comes home to his mom. They were living in a point over there. He knew what, you know, sex was then. He was a teenager. They learned right away when they came up here. And he'd be laughing about the girls. Just, I don't want to say anything. They seen those girls. They were not very big girls then. Maybe they were only about 13, 14 years old. They seen those girls. Then he'd come home and he'd be laughing. And I asked him, what you're laughing about? Oh, those girls are no good. He would say that. That's enough.
I think Grandpa's waking up.
The
hook. Ang ang ang.
Shulutni.
Say that again.
Agiklugu.
Hold on, Grandpa.
Anangak is. Anangak means. Anangak. But. Anangak. Shulutin. Well, please don't try to do anything like that. Turning your neighbors in to the law. Anangak shuludin means anybody shuk, you know, is shuludin is your
people.
Neighbor, you know, anybody's your neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Shuludin is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't turn him in or her. Not unless you see him or her with your own eyes. Not if you just hear things about him.
Right, gossip.
Gossip. Ashidok. Tohuna borjun kam agitaha. Shuk. Tadan shum shulutni agitaku. Maut ang lachtan gaznanun. Gaznanun is government, or you know, this, you know, turning the person in. Ang nakhtanon, gaznanon, tunloko, agikloko, means selling him to those, turning him in. Agikloko is selling, and turning him in is. How did I tell him? Selling him and giving him away to the law.
Right.
Ananak ashido, they would say. Ananak garden shuk shulun biluku ashido. Ashido. A thin. Borjin kam agichik kato guna shuk. God will pay for that person. But you wouldn't even know how God is going to pay. Like if I sold you to the government and you did something wrong, God would punish me in the long term. I wouldn't even know how.
Mm-hmm.
Not right away. It would come back to me though.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is. Look at poor Alberta now. She's done a lot of that stuff, turning people in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know what her husband was doing.
No. July 7th, 2007.
July 7th?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What was that saying?
Good old world of ours is getting ruined by the people. And it will get worse as it goes by. They'll be gone, and the children that's growing up will see it. Us, like me now, I see everything they used to talk about. Everything. It's so hard when God has His ways of taking care of the world too. Shalita Nyukhudum. And now, Pagashit Hokshut Slithun Alink Quartachiki Ocean Kam Taho Nutan Chamani Hwai Tangam Tangam Ulunit Village Hit Maguta Nani Shu What. Ulunitangamak shoot chakin at an inglewit away a shiuchutum ocean come tanknikai nuktakhitan kaywit anguda chumi slithun hokana pakashkat aling kwartak chakai. When that means they used to say God will punish, not punish them, but let them know that there is God. There's lots of people don't want to believe there's God in heaven. But He will let them get scared by individually, like a little bit down below now, how they have floods. I'm just saying, I said it in Aleut there. Uluch quartach chakai, a slithun, a ling quarloki, tangamuk, tangak uluch quarloku, a ling ludunglu. Do misukushin, portion kapumiah mihlu. They only then they'll know. Please God help me. Only then they'll know there's God. But you have to know God from the time you're little.
Yeah.
I know, because I grew up like that. Maybe that's why I'm left alone. We were all like that though. But I was the only one from the family that was really religious. Why, I don't know. Because I grew up with the elders bringing me to church all the time. My godmother, my mother. Then I got married. Before I got married, that old lady, Mrs. Green, used to bring me to church all the time. I was a churchgoer from the family, might as well say, more so. My family did go to church all the time. It seemed like wherever I was, they took me to church. And I believed in God. Because to me, when I looked at the icons, just like God is looking at you. You just look at their eyes, and if you move a little ways, just like God is still, He moves just like the way you are. That's the way I used to look at it when I go to church. Even at home, when my mom was living, when she'd tell us, you kids don't fight one another. You know how kids are. We make each other cry. Don't do that. Doshin kan tangne kaji. Then we'd quit. When she'd tell us that God is watching what you're doing. Then we'd get real good to each other and we start playing church instead of making each other cry. So while we're playing church, we'd tell each other, let's go and see if God is looking at us in the last room. Mom had a great big holy picture, big one, of Jesus. And we'd go in there and look at him. And yeah, look, Ingalakata. We were little, you know. We would say his eyes are moving, we'd run out. And then we'd run out and tell Mama, yeah, Ingalakata. And we did good, behave ourselves. Always talking to us about God all the time. But now, and then I went to school till I was 15, from the time I was 6. And there was always God mentioned in school. We sang about the Lord every morning before we salute the flag. First thing, we sang about the Lord. God came first. Then when we get done singing about the Lord and himself, then the teacher says we have to salute the flag for the United States. Then we all stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag. Everybody. I don't know, so cute some of them when you're so little. All the little kids, their hand, the teacher teach us, you know, how to put our hand. How to salute the flag.
Okay, that word is what?
Kachimashak.
And that's
a drying them, dried fish after you cut the meat in strips, like, not in strips, but then sideways.
Uh-huh.
So it'll dry faster. But kachimashak, they used to make, just fillet one side of the fish and leave the bone on the other side and then cut it in strips like yours is in us sideways,
mm-hmm.
and let it dry like that. In wintertime, they just soak it and boil them.
Mm.
They were good. They call them kachimajak.
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 Okay.
Just like kachimajak. Kachimajak. It almost rhymes, huh?
Mm-hmm. July 9th, 2007, and we're talking about Karluk and Kodiak back in the 40s or 30s? 40s, huh? You were in Kodiak then?
No, in 50s.
Oh, in the 50s? Okay. Okay, what was that word about heels?
Your heel is your kitnik. Kitnikken, two, both of your heels. Kitnikken, kitnik is one.
Ah.
And when you put on high heel shoes before, they used to say, ay, kitnikada. Like nails or something. Now they say nails. Ujukchak chinuna. They're so thin. Ujukchak chinuna. They used to have those real thin heels, remember?
Spikes.
They're coming back again.
Yeah.
They're coming back again, those kind of shoes. Ada kitnik. Chinuna ujukchak. Heels, like a nail. The people, you know, they used to make fun of things they never seen before, you know.
Right.
when they start. In fact, when I got married with him, I used to have some of them. I still got my shoes. I'll show them to you. Mariah ruined them for me, though.
Oh.
I still got my kitties. They're tiny ones, though, you know.
Uh-huh.
But some of them had real high ones, and they would say, I had the kitties. Would you check she, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Kitnik. It's called Drozhik, and that's potato yeast.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's potato yeast.
Okay.
For bread.
Uh-huh.
Drozhik.
They didn't have yeast back then, and they made their own.
You had to make your own.
So you had a gallon jug, and you had about two-thirds filled with water, three or four medium potatoes mashed that had been boiled without the skin, and a cup of sugar. You put away till it ferments, and when it's starting to work, you add water to what is needed for bread. Example, 2 cups of water to make 7 loaves. Shake before using. Still has starter. Keep cold till it's ready to use again.
Gallon jug.
Yeah.
No, not 2 thirds of water. You.
2/3 of that gallon jug.
Oh, to your potatoes, yeah. 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 That's all right, yeah.
Okay. And then a cup of sugar.
A cup of sugar. Uh-huh. You put together till it starts. Then you could put, you know, 2 cups of water more or so, as much as you want to, on the gallon jug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to fill it about that much after it starts fermenting, after it starts working real good.
Uh-huh.
Then you leave it alone for a while, for about overnight, then you're going to make bread.
Right.
The next day you make bread in the evening, then you shut it up and let it raise overnight.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then after you've used what you needed for your bread, you keep it cold till you're ready to use. So you always have that. And then you just add more, a couple more potatoes to it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because you're going to shake it when you're going to make bread. You're going to shake it when you fill your cup.
Uh-huh.
Not just plain water.
Right, right. Because it'll separate.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It'll separate it from the potato, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because potato is the one that's making the yeast.
Okay.
Then that way, when you take your, it'd be about that much left, and that'd be your starter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they used to do.
Right.
I've been thinking about that for many years. I think, how come I don't try that? But I was afraid of him. That one would just drink it.
Okay, so that's something we're going
to
make.
That he tell me to make more and more, maybe.
Okay, that's something that we're going to be making.
I love you, Mom.
On Lansing.
The doctors will hear it.
I don't care. It's not them. This is our ways. Go ahead now. Tell me.
When a person has anything hurting them, like if you hurt your leg or your arm, any place where they think that they can lance it, after the bruise goes away, and if the person is hurting, because the bruise is in the meat yet, on your meat inside, they would call the person that has lancing outfit, you know, a little kit, not the outfit, a little kit. They always kept them separate.
Explain about that, Liam Pierce.
The little thing that they made for to suck your wherever you're hurting was made out of. The people from way back made it out of a cow horn. But in Karluk, I remember, some people had them, those little cow horns. But as the years went by, I remember them making some out of those Lee and Perrinsot's bottles, those little ones. They'd cut the bottom off. I don't know how they cut the bottom off from the little bottle. And then they'd sandpaper it so it'll be smooth, you know, because it's got to go on your skin. And so it won't cut your skin or anything. And then on top of the bottle, in that spout of the bottle, they tie inside of the spout, they put a little cork from the medicine bottles. They would get a little tiny cork that just fits tight, really tight in that bottle, spout of that bottle. Right. Then they make a little hole on that cork, tiny little hole where they could tell that it's going to be big enough to suck on a person. So when they get done with that, then they would get a letter from anything that's clean, and they boil it. After they boil it, then they cut it just to fit the spout on the bottle, and they shape it. They shape it just about round, you know, and put kind of a tail, like, you know, so it'll go down on the bottle, and then they tie it real tight on the bottle, and that was the cover for the bottle. Because when they suck on the person where they were hurt, while they were sucking on it, they would watch to see when, as soon as it started to get turn blue, then they know whoever is hurting you is coming out to the surface from inside.
Right.
It's coming out to the surface, sucking it out. And after they suck it out, suck it to the surface, then they shut that bottle. After they suck on it, they shut the bottle with that little
leather
and hold onto it till it gets real dark purple-like, because they want to make sure it comes all the way to the surface.
Right.
Whatever is hurting you inside, your leg or your arm, wherever, your back or whatever.
Right. Well, let's just talk about that with the knee.
Oh, on your knee.
Yeah.
Or anyway, and then after that, when it's all blue, then they take the bottle off, then they lance it. They just grab your skin where it's all blue and lance it, because they used to boil their little kits, you know. They won't just put them away. They boil them and then they lance it. After they lance it, then they'll suck it again. They'll suck all that blueness off. And there won't be, and when they get done, it wouldn't even be blue anymore. And it'll be all inside that bottle. All the way up.
In the Lee and Perrins bottle?
Yeah.
Really?
All the blood.
Uh-huh.
All the blood would be all sucked out. Because they would suck it till it all comes up into the bottle.
Wow.
And then when they're done, they had napkins, you know, of their own. That they wash and boil. And after that, they would just take the cloth and just cover it where they lanced it, and then take that bottle and pour it into a little glass or a little bowl. And then they would show it to you. They'd be little tiny little, just like sand. That's what's hurting your knee. That's what was hurting my knee too. They disappeared now. The tiny little, that's blood, old blood in there. Old blood that you injured.
Right.
Is in there, that's what hurts you. And then a person would walk and won't hurt no more.
Wow.
They did that to my hip. I wasn't scared because I knew what they're gonna do. They first put hot towel on it first, you know, before they do it though. They put hot towel. And after they put hot towel on it, then they start sucking. They knew what to do. Up to this day, my back never hurts. And I must have been 40-some years old, your age maybe. My back was hurting, I couldn't walk. I didn't know what was wrong with it.
Wow.
And I said, the only way it'll get good, I tried everything, it wouldn't get good. So I went over to Matrona and I told her. And that was the first time I ever went to her place, and she was wondering, why is Ukwak coming? She used to call me Ukwaket, you know, sister-in-law. The sister-in-law is Ukwak, you know.
Right.
I wonder why Ukwak is coming. She never comes here. I could hardly walk, though. I forgot who was walking with me. I could barely walk up that hill, but I made it. And when I walked in, I said, hello. I said, Chamai. I said, and I told her, I bet you're wondering why I came. And she said, yeah, I was wondering. I was wondering because you never come, you know, at this time during the summer, or this was during the summer. And I told her I could hardly walk. I said, yeah, I could see that. She said, what is the matter? I don't know. My back is hurting right here. I don't know what is hurting. I've been like this for I don't know how many days, I said. I can hardly walk in the morning. It hurts so bad. I don't know why it's hurting. I said, I don't think I ever hurt it, though. Why, I don't know. And I told my husband, I'm going and get lanced. That's the only time it'll get good. I tried everything else, there's nothing that's been helping me. So he walked me down the spit. We used to live in Old Karluk. But he had to go out fishing, but I went straight up and see her. But then she sent for my great-grandma, blind old lady, in case, she said, he's touching my dryer.
He stopped it, because it keeps going.
You know, he just quit it.
No, it's second time around.
Grandma, we're done.
Yeah, just leave
no,
it.
No, don't touch it.
We're talking. Go ahead, Graham, you were saying?
Anyway, she said for blind old lady, and she said in case, I fainted or something. I said, I'm not scared at all, lancing knife you have. You know, it's just tiny little knife. And it had a wooden
handle.
Just like paring knives, only real small, real tiny.
Right.
Real small, just like you could just poke yourself, you know, and it's all, it was just enough to make a little tiny hole. I said, I'm not scared. Yeah, just in case. So she sent for your grandma.
Oh, she knew how to do it then?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Matrona knew how to do it.
Oh, okay.
And that's exactly what she did, is to suck it. She sucked right on my back here after putting hot. Her husband was there helping her. She was teaching her husband how to do it. Will it, Pete? And then when she got done, she put it in the little bowl, you know, and not stainless, anything stainless. It had to be a glass or a
ceramic
or something, you know. And then when she got done, she took a lot of blood out of it here, where it was hurting me. And then she said, she looked at it, and then she said,
look at it now, Ukwak. There's where that was hurting you. There was a whole bunch of tiny little, just like sand,
huh,
clogged up blood,
huh,
over here. I don't know how, what happened. And the next day I was walking real good.
Huh.
Up to this day I never have my sore back. It was amazing, no kidding. It was amazing to me. I could walk the next day. And I just gave her, you know, $10.
Oh.
You have to get them, you know, just like being a doctor.
Uh-huh.
So you'll have good luck yourself.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Huh. If you don't do that, you can give them a towel or a soap. Soap and a towel.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have the money.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That's for... to wish yourself to get well.
Right.
And to thank the person that's helping you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. I got good. Next day I was working home and it's like nothing happened.
Huh. That's good, Grandpa. Because yeah, we didn't get that on that last one when we videoed you about Lansing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're talking about the different native foods and how they were prepared and what they ate. And you said,
I'm trying to say them all over again.
No, just the about the seagulls.
Oh, the seagulls. We used to eat seagulls in the fall of the year.
And
they're good eating fall of the year.
Which ones?
The new ones, the young ones.
Mm-hmm.
The young seagulls are dark,
uh-huh,
dark gray, real dark. The mothers and fathers are light gray, you know, with white,
uh-huh,
white head, you know. And but the young seagulls are all gray.
Hmm.
And there used to be lots in the island, young seagulls.
Mm-hmm.
And people used to go down there and, you know, with a shotgun and shot 6-7 at a time. Yeah.
Wow. And how were they prepared?
Just like ducks, only they skin them. They don't pick them.
Hmm.
They skin them like a ptarmigan.
Oh.
They are delicious.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Tastes like a chicken?
Yeah, almost like a chicken. You just soak it overnight. You cut them up,
uh-huh,
the way you're going to cook them. I like soup, though, more than I would, you know, frog. My feet are itching, but I'm going to walk. I'd rather have a soup.
Mm.
Seagull soup. Then I would, just like ptarmigan, too. I like ptarmigan soup, then roast it, because ptarmigan is so dry. We just use the breast part of the ptarmigan,
mm-hmm,
because it's so bony or so much ligaments on them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to eat them. When I cooked ptarmigan, I made sure that Jackie and Valen didn't get the leg parts or anything. Sometimes I would cook them separate so they can get the meat part only. I didn't want them to choke with bone or anything like that. Mostly ligaments or something, just stringy-like,
hmm,
on their legs and arms. I mean, wings, you know,
uh-huh,
wing part. Ptarmigans are like that. But the seagulls are not. They're more meat. They're meaty.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But ptarmigan is more on the breast part that you get them for.
Now, when you made the soup, what was put in there?
Just like you would make soup with fish.
Uh-huh.
You make all your ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And then cook your meat with it, whatever. If you're going to cook ptarmigan soup or,
uh-huh,
you know. First you put your meat in, though, because sometimes ptarmigans are kind of tough. the old ptarmigan. Uh-huh. Young ptarmigan wasn't though. But we used to get just scared when we were picking berries, ptarmigans. There was so much ptarmigans you couldn't see them because they're camouflaged or whatever with the land, you know. Mm-hmm. And we started picking berries and all of a sudden right by us and a ptarmigan would fly. Oh, just scare us. That good thing was just right by us. We couldn't catch it. They just lay still till you get pretty close to them and bang, they fly. Scare you. Mm. We used to have fun though, the kids and I mean, they're not kids anymore, Fallon and I and Jackie. They'd be running after them up there on the hill, up on the mountain. Running after the ptarmigan because I said, you can't catch them. I think Jackie was as old as him because 5, 6 years old. I used to take him with me and let him pick cranberries in a cup, put it in a cup. Oh, he'd be so proud when he fills up the cup. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Valen, only Valen had a little bit bigger one, you know, because I'd be using the picker. So I just take him along just so I won't be alone. And we'd have a whole bunch of sandwiches with us. Mm. And Pop. They like that, having picnic up there, right on top of the mountain. We never went down. Because there was so much on top. We could see the whole village from up there. Huh. We used to go straight up from our house. Then coming down, we'd stop in a certain spot. Would be a bunch of blueberries, big blueberries. Hmm. We'd pick some blueberries on our way home. In no time, we'd get a gallon of blueberries.
Wow.
I used to make a jam out of them. Yeah, we had fun when we were together. Especially when we stayed in Unalia for about 4 years or 5 years, we stayed up there. I liked it. Mm. And then when we bring the cranberries home, they would be already cleaned because I clean them up there in the mountain. We take a big piece of sheet or anything to let the wind clean them, clean all the dirt off, you know?
Right.
Just let the wind clean them.
Wow.
And you don't have to clean them when you get home. Mm-hmm. Just put them right in the water when you get home.
And how did you preserve them?
In the water.
And all winter long they stayed in the water?
In the water. But they would freeze though, you know?
Uh-huh. Wow.
And then if you put them in the water, then all the little stuff that was left on the berry itself, you know, would float and we just clean all that off. Because when you take the berries out, you know, you take water and all and you make, you know, ichiyak or kayushak they call. We always had that all the time. And then I'd make cranberry sauce like Mama always did. Mm-hmm. Same thing. When we have ducks or ptarmigan, we always have to have fresh cranberry sauce.
So all your berries were preserved in water?
In water.
Wow, and they'd last all winter?
All winter.
Huh.
But they'd be frozen, but you'd have to kind of chop around, you know, try to...
Right.
Chop too much because you don't want to waste your berries, you know.
But in the when you did,
but
the...
it didn't freeze all the way down.
Oh,
it'd be frozen so much,
right,
you know, from the top because we used to shut them around, you know.
Uh huh.
So they don't freeze too much, but they just fresh.
Huh.
They stay just as fresh as you would, fresher than the ones you buy from the store. Just like when you put them in.
And these were winter. Big barrels?
We used to fill up a ten gallon barrel of cranberries.
A wooden one or?
Wooden.
Wooden barrel?
Yeah, they're pretty big, you know. 50-pound sack, sometimes two, sometimes 50-pound sack, and then 25-pound sack. Would fill it half full, about that much.
Berries?
With berries, and then the rest with water.
That's like 75 gallons or 75 pounds of berries or
however. Then we shed it with a old oil cloth and tie it up real tight so nothing gets in there. No kind of fly or anything. Tie it up with a string as tight as you can.
And they stayed in the pantry or in your shed?
In the shed.
In the shed. Mm-hmm. So only the top portion of it would freeze and not the bottom?
Yeah, about that much.
Yeah.
From the top.
Would be frozen solid.
And then you just go on the side to open.
Uh-huh.
And then when you go on the side, you know, the water comes up.
Right.
And all you have to do is just take what you want from the side with the ice and all. And take it in like that. Take all the berries you want.
Wow.
Yeah, I could live like that if I was young and go back to old-fashioned way.
Uh-huh.
And cranberries are good for your kidneys.
Yeah.
I think they were good for everything else because, see, we must have used a lot of cranberries. That's every fall I went and get cranberries.
Right.
50-pound sack.
And did you do your blackberries that way and blueberries too?
Blueberries we couldn't keep. You had to make jam right away, just like salmon berries. But the blackberries, you could preserve them in the water too.
So just the cranberries?
Just like the cranberries, and blackberries.
Preserved in water.
Mm-hmm. But the others, blueberries, salmon berries, moss berries, wild raspberries, you make jam right away. Otherwise they can't keep.
Huh.
They ferment.
Oh.
They ferment. They turn into alcohol.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have to make jam right away. They never made jelly, jam all the time.
Right.
They weren't such as anything as jelly them days, you know.
Right. So now when they made their jam, they made enough to last all winter?
All winter. Bunch of jars. And any jar you get on anything that comes in, food comes in jars, you know, we save them. We didn't buy regular jars.
Right.
There was none such as regular jars.
Right, mason jars.
We had to save our jars from the pickles or whatever. Little tiny jars from jam or whatever. You buy jam from the store, save them. All the time. Never throw jars away, because you're not going to need them when you make jam. And that's what we used.
Right.
We never used to buy our jam from the store all winter. We had blueberry jam, we had salmon berry jam.
What about sour berries?
Sour berries we never picked right away. They were on all winter long on the bushes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some people picked them. But we never pick any because if we want some, we just go. There used to be lots across from our place, real tall, tall ones. That's where they were digging up right there.
Now those sour berries stayed on all
they
winter?
They stay on all winter.
Wow.
You can just go pick them from the bushes.
So, but what about during the summertime? How did you preserve them during the summer?
Some people picked them for winter, and they put them in a water.
They did.
They preserve them in the water, too. A lot of them picked them up here. Because there wasn't much in Carlock, not too much. There is, but then right across from our place, they didn't know that there was a lot of, you know, right across from our place. But there was bunches here, a bunch there, not enough for the village, I guess. But a lot of them would come back home from here after they work up here with a lot of thoroughbreds. They would pick before they even get really ripe, you know.
Oh.
One side would be just ripe, getting ripe. Mm-hmm. But they would put them out in the sun.
Oh.
And just spread them out on a cloth, you know.
Uh-huh.
And let the sun. And all day they
roll them.
Roll them around.
Uh-huh.
And then when they could tell when they're getting red, go roll them around again. That's how they let them ripen up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
And then when they know they're ripe enough, then they put them in the water. They still ripen up in the water too.
Wow.
And they make good hiyok.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know how to work on a lot of berries. I know where there's lots of wild raspberries. I tell you, those make good jam. They just taste so good.
Hmm.
Raspberries. Wild raspberries. Not this kind you pick, you know. You could pick some from Alberta. There's a big bunch down there.
Yeah.
When they ripen up.
Uh-huh.
She won't be here not to.
Yeah. Okay, I got 8 more minutes on here. Okay, we're talking about uraks and nahiraks and how they used to prepare them and and everything. Even in the summertime when they would eat the uraks.
Yeah, summertime, some old folks would like to, they want uruk so bad, they would send the kids down to get some, you know, like my brother Oscar, when he was with his foster parents in Tanglefoot summertime, would be camping down there all summer, you know, with my first husband, your real grandpa. And we'd stay down there all summer, because he used to be the straw boss down there. And in Tanglefoot, there used to be a lot of families down there, stayed down there all summer. And then Oscar was only about maybe 7, 8 years old. They sent him down there on the beach and go and tell him to go and get uruks. He knew what uruks were. And he'd go and get a bucket, a small little bucket full for them. And then when he brings them back home, the old folks would open the uruks, you know, open them wide open. Every one of them, and then they line them up in the pan, in a big dish pan.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they line them up open, they fill it up with fresh water and let them stay overnight. And the next morning they'd eat them because the eggs would kind of expand in fresh water.
Hmm.
That's how they used to eat them summertime. But wintertime, they're full, you know, the eggs are big. And then uchiraks.
But you said they even ate the.
Oh, they on the sea urchins on the uruks, they eat that the middle part. You know, just like the, just like a tooth in the middle. You know, where the uruks eat from. You know.
Uh huh.
They eat that too. They chew it and eat it.
Huh.
Uh huh.
They didn't cook it. They just ate them raw.
Just eat it raw.
Mhm.
Could she do it?
Okay, go ahead.
Then he would bring some uchiraks for them.
Uh-huh.
To another bucket, because down in towards Tanglefoot, the uchiraks are really big. They must be at least 3 inches long or 4 inches long. Long, you know.
Yeah, that's nice and big.
About 4 inches long.
Mm.
And big, wide. They're really wide, maybe about 3 inches wide.
Hmm.
Big. They are big.
Wow.
I can't explain it how. If I drew one, well, like this here.
Uh-huh.
That, how many inches is that?
That's a good 4 inches.
Yeah. And it's just about as wide as this.
Yeah.
The uchiraks. And they're round, you know.
Uh-huh.
Big. And then when he brings them home for them, the old folks would, if they want to eat them right now, while they're stretched out.
Uh-huh.
You know, because if you touch them too much, you know, the hobnails get...
hard.
Yeah. And while they're stretched out from the bucket, they take it right away, then they'll start take a piece of wood and they'll...
hit the shell?
Hit the ojira by the shell.
Uh-huh. Like you're hammering it.
Hammering it, just like... Then they'll turn it around and do the same thing on the other side. Do the same thing. And I don't know how long they would do that. Till it can't move, I guess, or something. Because they could tell. It doesn't go like this, you know.
Right. Contract.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's just flat then, you know, when it's ready to eat, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And then they would cut it right there by the tongue, just so they could start off. And they would just peel that right off.
Huh.
The meat, the tongue. Top part from the tongue.
Uh-huh.
And peel the other side off too, like that.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
And it just falls right off.
It comes
easy.
Right off.
Huh.
And then that's how they would eat it raw. Man, they had good teeth too, you know. The old people, they never lost their teeth. They eat them raw. Mm. I used to like them too because I had my teeth then too. I won't eat. And the tongues are good. They're so big. The tongues are big. What they call them. We always call them the tongues, you know.
Yeah.
They always look like tongues.
Huh.
They are delicious. Then you pick the China caps. I almost forgot. China caps are big too, down that way.
Huh.
They're real big, about this big.
Gee, like a
China caps.
50 cent piece.
Those are good to eat too. You can eat them raw.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, you know, fry them up.
Mm.
After you wash them out, you know, and then you just pour a little bit boiling water on them, they come right off.
Hmm.
They come right off from the shell.
Wow.
And you could put them in a gravy. You can make soup.
Hmm.
Same thing. And same thing with the blue mussels.
Hmm.
Winter time. Blue mussels, they look for the biggest ones, the biggest blue mussels, you know. They would pick a whole bunch of them and make soup and put them in gravy. They were good. Same thing with ojira, they make soup and put them in the gravy too.
Wow.
Yeah. People can't starve when you know how to eat from the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom, when we were little, used to bring us some kind of kelp. She used to let us eat all those things. Then she used to bring a whole, I don't know who used to pick them for her, but they used to have a gallon cans, and somebody would pick some for her. Snails. Snails were about this big. Not a great big snails, you know, big, those tiny snails, blue, kind of a blue color. And she just put them in a hot boiling water for maybe 5 minutes and they're done.
Wow.
And after they're done, then she would put cold water so they get cooled off. Then she would just spill the water out of them and put the pan on the floor and give every one of us a safety pin. And she'd sit all of us around that pan and let us eat all the snails we want. We liked them. And then we'd eat them with those kelp.
Hmm.
We'd eat them till we finished them. All those snails. we liked them. Maybe that's why...